Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 1, The Supreme Lord is equal to everyone, text number 24. Hingsa tat abhimanena, danda parushayor yata, vaishamyam iha bhutanam, mamaham iti partiva. Hingsa, suffering, tat of this, abhimanena, by the false conception, danda parushayo, when there is punishment and chastisement, yata, just as, vaishamyam, misconception, iha, here, in this body, bhutanam, of the living entities, mamaham, mine and I, iti, thus, partiva, O Lord of the earth. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear King, the conditioned soul, being in the bodily conception of life, considers the body to be his self and considers everything in relationship with the body to be his. Because he has this wrong conception of life, he is subjected to dualities like praise and chastisement. Purport. Only when a conditioned soul accepts the body as himself does he feel the effects of chastisement or praise. Then he determines one person to be his enemy, another his friend, and wants to chastise the enemy and welcome the friend. Creation of friends and enemies is a result of one's bodily conception of life. The Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Daivyesha gunamayi mamamaya dharatiya mameva ye pravadyante mayametam tarantite. That this is divine energy mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome, but those who take shelter in me can easily overcome it. In other words, Krishna's material energy, illusory energy, is empowered by him to put us in illusion. And since we're infinitesimal spirit souls, therefore we're perfectly put into illusion. And the main illusion is that we think we're this body. And therefore we take credit or discredit for whatever happens to this body, although it actually has nothing to do with our real self. The real self, according to Bhagavad Gita, naiva kinchit karomiti yukta manyate tattvavit pashan srinvan srishan jigran ashnanga chan swapan swasan swapan prajapam umishanamishanapi vartanta iti daryan. That naiva kinchit karomiti, that one should not think at any time that one is karoti, the doer. Naiva kinchit karomiti yukta manyate tatvavit. The one who's actually connected with Krishna and Krishna consciousness, then he sees that actually he's not the doer. He's the desirer. Naiva kinchit karomiti yukta manyate tatvavit sparshan. While touching, jigran, while smelling, sparshan, jigran, ashnanga chan, while eating, and ashnanga chan, while going about, prajalpan, vishujan, grinan, while speaking, while opening and closing his eyes, he knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects, and that he is actually aloof from them. Umishani, mishanapi, bhardanda, iti daryan. The other thing is when sleeping and breathing, etc. So, although we like to take credit for our activities, but actually we're not the doer. We're the desirer, and therefore we have responsibility according to our desire for what our activities are. Because otherwise if we say we're not doing anything, that would be wrong. we're not doing anything material. We're desiring. And because the soul is spiritual, his desires ultimately may not be spiritual in the sense of if he's dovetailing his desires with the material desires, then his desires are considered to be material. And when he dovetails his desires with spiritual desires, then his desires are said to be spiritual. But that's our free will. Do we want to orientate ourselves, the ignorant misconception of identifying ourselves with our gross and subtle bodies, and therefore become entangled in material energy in the three modes? Or we want to dovetail our desires with that, or we want to orientate our desires towards the spiritual conception that we're Krishna's eternal servant. That's the extent of our free will. Now, Krishna says, adishtanam tata karata karanam cha pritag vidan vivitas cha pritag chesta daivam chaivatra panchama, that there are five causes for the accomplishment of work, of which adishtanam, the place of activity, namely the body, is what we're most conscious of usually. Tata karata, and then there's the karata, the soul is identified as the doer. Because if he didn't want to be in the material world, if he didn't want to experience material existence, there would be nothing. He wouldn't be doing anything here. He wouldn't be desiring different activities. But adishtanam tata karanam, without senses, we couldn't do anything. It's one thing having a body, but the body requires some interaction via media towards the soul, so the soul can figure out what's going on and desire accordingly. Therefore, there's a karanam, the senses, the five working senses, and the five knowledge acquiring senses. Chakpritag, chesta. And then, in order to desire, there has to be some connection between the soul and the subtle body, so that's called false ego, where we believe that we're the doers and we're desiring to do things. Vivida chita chesta daivam chaivanta panchama. But the whole thing works, practically speaking, by the arrangements of the supersoul. Unless the supersoul provides intelligence, knowledge, and forgetfulness, the soul doesn't know what to desire. It's in deep sleep. And unless the supersoul arrange the material nature, then the soul could keep on desiring, but nothing would happen because there would be nothing to work with, in the material world at least. So there are five factors of which the soul is one of them, and when the soul is working the material concept of life, more or less he's just observing and experiencing the results of his desires, either in this lifetime or in previous lifetimes, results of his desires and activities, and his suffering, we could say, sometimes it says enjoying, purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti janganan karna guna sangosya sad asad yoni janmasu. The living entity just follows the ways of life, enjoying means to suffer, actually. We think enjoyment means to be happy and be pleased and experience. But enjoying means they're actually experiencing, which in the material world is considered to be simply suffering to different degrees. The living entity that follows his ways of life, which means conceptions, whatever is being presented to him, he can choose either goodness, passion, or ignorance, or he can choose spiritual life if he chooses, enjoying the three modes. But when he doesn't know that there's such a thing as spiritual life, or he doesn't choose spiritual instructions, spiritual conceptions, spiritual vision. If he doesn't accept a spiritual vision and then perform activities according to that spiritual vision, then the result is he's forced to act either in goodness, passion, or ignorance. He has to choose something to act. And according to his choice, then he'll get the reaction. The results will be given to him. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte Prakriti Janguna. So he's trying to experience Prakriti in different arrangements. Because the soul is conscious and has consciousness, therefore he has the ability to experience the material energy also. Sat asat. And sometimes there is something which is called sat. He gets a so-called auspicious existence in a demigod body or some higher realm of material existence. Or asat, he gets a lower body. He's born in Ljubljana during the coronavirus pandemic. Sat asat, yoni janmi. So he takes birth in some womb, and according to the womb he takes birth in, he's going to enjoy and actually just suffer the results of all some of his past misdeeds, called aparabdha karma and parabdha karma. That which we're suffering from now is called parabdha karma, and aparabdha karma is all the different sinful desires and activities, the results of them, within our hearts, stored up, waiting to be manifested in kuta, bija, papa, and then manifested reactions. Therefore, our only hope is to get out of the bodily constitutive life, but we just don't walk out of it. In other words, we have to hear from Krishna and Bhagavad Gita or from his representatives that the body is changing. Such a simple thing should be obvious, except for the fact that Maya is empowered to take away even the most, from our intelligence, our understanding, even the most obvious things becomes very, very difficult to understand. And what to speak of someone who understands that he's not the body, even to understand what the implications are, is quite very difficult. Prabhupada was talking to Cardinal Dialu. Now, cardinals, there's not so many. The Catholic Church has many millions of followers, hundreds of millions of followers. And there's only so many cardinals, so we understand that the elite of the Catholic Church are the cardinals. But Prabhupada is talking to this cardinal, and he cannot understand that animals could have souls. They're coming from a tradition where their leader, St. Thomas Aquinas, wrote that there are three kinds of souls. There is the human soul, which men have. There is the animal soul that animals have. And then there is the in-between, which women have. He was obviously not a feminist. So this conception of soul is very vague. They think the mind is the soul, or something like that, some vague conception of what the soul is. And sometimes they even think that when Lord Jesus Christ comes, the dead bones will rise again. So, maybe the flesh will appear on you again, you'll be back, you'll be in heaven in your self-same body. Now, for them, it doesn't make any sense either, because it couldn't make any sense to anyone, because it's nonsense. Still, they accept it, and therefore, in this age when people are doubting, therefore it's very hard to keep people interested in such a conception of life. That you're going to die, your bones are going to go into the earth if they don't burn you. And then somehow or another, by some inconceivable miracle, when Lord Jesus Christ comes back again, all the dead bones and the ashes will rise up, form back perfectly, a youthful body, and you go to heaven, and everyone's there is enjoying what they're enjoying that they don't know. Now, when you try to explain to someone the fact that this body is only temporary, they can't understand that the body is changing. They somehow or another identify even their small baby body is exactly the same as the present body. They don't understand that they're an illusion, and therefore, because the soul is the same, they think the body must be the same. Because they identify so closely with the body, And therefore, it doesn't matter what body they have, they think it's always the same because they're always the same. So that means their intelligence is completely entangled in illusion. So the only way of getting out of it is to give them some prasadam, usually. Give them prasadam, the holy name, and then gradually chanting Hare Krishna, and then gradually it's possible their intelligence, or even our intelligence, may be gradually disentangled. And when we understand we're not this body, then this conception that we're not the doer becomes plausible. That the material nature is carrying out our activities, or the spiritual energy is carrying out our activities, and we're simply in the background desiring. And therefore, if that's the case, then whoever we are, whatever our actual spiritual identity is unaffected. People may praise our bodily activities, they may blaspheme our bodily activities, or our mental activities, or our conceptions, but in the background is our real self. We don't even know what we look like, nor does anyone else, except for maybe Krishna and his pure devotees. And therefore, when they're criticizing us, they're not criticizing us, they're criticizing the dress we have on. If you put on an outfit for a party, for a costume party, and you dress up as, say, well, Batman or someone, and someone says, you look ugly. Well, most people won't be offended so much, because they understand I'm not this costume. You don't like my costume? It's all right. I'm going to get another one soon. I'm going to take it off. But one who actually believes he's Batman, or one who's crazy, who actually believes that I am this body, then they'll become disturbed. Because everyone is more or less in the material world, in the bodily concept of life, to different degrees insane. Someone walks in and claims that they're Lord Jesus Christ, and you think this person's crazy. Obviously, he's not Lord Jesus Christ, because he's identifying himself with someone he's actually not. But of course, we walk in and we think we're this body. So we're also crazy. The only difference is that some crazy people are in the insane asylum, and the rest of the crazy people are outside the insane asylum. But everyone is very proud of what they can do, what they think they're doing, what they think they are understanding, so many different things based upon illusion they're very proud of. But an enlightened soul is not very proud of the fact that he's captured by the illusory energy and put into a material conception of life, then it's quite embarrassing. And when he becomes liberated, he doesn't become God. At least the Vaishnavas don't become God. They become the eternal, insignificant servant of Krishna. For Krishna, the soul is significant. But in terms of absolute reality, even Haridasa Thakura, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, don't leave before I do, he said, Haridasa Thakura said, you have millions and millions of servants who could stand on my head, so what's the loss? If one insect dies, what is the loss to the universe? If one insect dies, Brahma and the demigods don't come, you know, and have a cell, and have a offering to the dead ant. No one is concerned. So the soul is dear to Krishna and can perform some service, meaningful service to Krishna, but there are unlimited universes. What to speak of unlimited souls in the universes? So what exactly is our significance? Compared to Krishna, we have absolutely no significance, but because Krishna is very kind and loving, therefore he gives us significance. Whereas Prabhupada said, if you have a little bit of one little nut or a bolt in a big, big machine, it's really very insignificant compared to the machine, but it has its value when it's properly put into its place in the machine, and therefore its value, because it's doing its service for the machine. Similarly, for Krishna, Krishna is unlimited. He has unlimited everything, unlimited bliss, unlimited love, unlimited pleasure, unlimited servants. But still, we can offer something to Krishna, and Krishna feels very obliged for it, because that's his nature. And as much as we become engaged in such activities, then the result is that Krishna takes us out of the bodily concept of life. When we love Krishna in proportion to our love and devotion to Krishna, then our love and devotion to the material conception of life will gradually diminish. And instead of being anxious about what my body is doing, what my body can, you know, how people are looking at my body, we'll become more anxious of how, what this body is doing for Krishna, and how Krishna and Krishna's representatives are pleased by my desires that I be utilized as an instrument, this body be utilized as an instrument for Krishna. They're pleased, and they give me shelter by Krishna consciousness. And as a result is that although the body may go through so many, it will go through so many different states, but when it's utilized for Krishna's service, then it can become an instrument to spreading Krishna consciousness. And when it disappears, then the soul will be offered an opportunity to either join Krishna within his lila in some universe, or perhaps to come back and take part in Krishna conscious activities again. In any case, the soul will not be disturbed by any material circumstance, because they'll understand that right now we're not doing anything, therefore there's nothing really to gain. We can become a king or a Brahma or whatever, but we don't become anything. It's just another dress we put on. The most important thing is to find out who we actually are, and who we actually are is in relationship to Krishna. And if we realize Krishna, then our life is perfect. And if we try to perfect this material existence, then we're simply wasting our time. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, I wonder if you can tell us something from the Krishna conscious perspective. What happened to the person who needs to get transplanted organ, for instance, heart?
Anyhow, you may be driving in a car and the wheels fall off, so they put on new wheels. But the driver doesn't change. What happens to the person? I don't know. He gets a new car. At least parts of the car are replaced. What's the big deal? The car is going to, it's not going to run, it's going to run out after a while anyhow. Doesn't matter how many times you replace the parts. Eventually it'll get worn out and you'll have to get a new car. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, ki jai. Srila Prabhupada, ki jai.